I'm joined by Martin Chulov, who's back on base in Beirut, but who covered the protests in Bahrain. And last time we spoke, he predicted there would be a showdown. Martin, the showdown has come to pass. So I suppose you could say the government has won in the short term.
Well, it was hard to see how it was going to turn out in any other way. We've had these protesters that have been hitting the streets now for 2 months. They have been drawing support from Iran, from other Shia states in the region. It has taken on a very strong sectarian tone to it. That has threatened the Sunni states. And what we've seen is that the Gulf states swinging behind the tiny kingdom of Bahrain, which is a Sunni elite minority, which has ruled there for 200 years, and they've said to them, the dispute within your borders like this threatens us as well. We're going to come to your assistance because of you four. We are jeopardized. And that, in turn, has raised the stakes even higher because it's brought in the bigger regional players. It's pitched Saudi Arabia against their arch foe, Iran. And now we're seeing a dispute that really has spun beyond Bahrain's borders.
And it's quite ironic. Today, Hillary Clinton was in Tahrir Square in Egypt congratulating the protesters, but there's been a lot of speculation that the Americans were very much behind the Bahraini authorities.
Well, until now, this Arab Spring revolution has not been an American story, but if we look at it in Bahrain, it's very much becoming one. Egypt, Tunisia, even Libya, they were not revolutions that sprang out of any American motivations or even any American involvement. But Bahrain is different. Initially, it was seen as a majority that was pushing for broader rights, for a more representative voice in a parliament, or within a regime that has long ignored them. And the Americans were supporting that in the initial stages. They were sort of reasonably strongly behind the notion of political reforms, and they even gave some comfort to the thought of a constitutional monarchy, which would strip powers from the kingdom there and make... There was a lot of shuttle diplomacy in the last month from Bahrain to Washington and also from the Gulf states to Washington. And the message was that if we fall, your strategic interests are jeopardized. And let's not forget, the Americans do have their Fifth Fleet based in Bahrain. They've had a lot invested in the stability of the Bahraini government because it serves their strategic interests within the Gulf, and it acts as the buffer against Iran. So what we've seen in the last couple of weeks is something very interesting. The American policy in the Middle East, certainly since Obama, and even in the last couple of years of the Bush regime, was democracy over stability. And that overturned the 60-year-old formula, which was the opposite. Stability is better than democracy in the Middle East for now. But now it appears that the Americans have swung back to the old ways because it suits them to do so. They are preferring that the regime does not fall. They are saying that the involvement of Saudi and Gulf troops is not an invasion. All they're doing is urging caution for now in Bahrain, but their support does appear to be once again behind the Bahraini regime.
Well, I suppose it's the old sort of you back the winners, and I suppose in Egypt the protesters were on the winning side, so you swing your protest behind them. But in the Gulf, it looked like the regime was standing firm, and the momentum was with them rather than the protesters.
To some extent, that's right. But also in Egypt, it's a strange sort of a revolution. The autocrat fell, but the regime has remained. The military is running the show there. The Americans are still very strongly aligned to the military. They've known that leadership for a long period, and the relationships remain. In Bahrain, if the regime fell, America's strategic interests would likely collapse as well, and that's something that they're not prepared to risk at this point.